Our theme for the first 7 months of this year is the way. And today we're going to think a little bit about the way of faith. And actually, we're going to think about trapezing. Has anybody here ever been on a zip wire or a trapeze? You have. You really, really have on one of those things. Wow. Did you like it? Did you let go? No. Okay. Anybody else? Zip wire, Michelle? I knew it. Okay. You have? Tammy? A zip wire. Okay. Brilliant. Laura? A zip wire and a trapeze, right? Well, you know more than me. I'm not going to guarantee that I'm going to do this. Okay, thanks for the passage in Philippians 3. My dad, if I can refer to my dad, who was also present at my induction, is now in glory. My dad once said to me, Jane, you could tell that he was an investment banker, how can you find something different to say every week? He had a point, and 33.5 years later, or over 4,000 Sunday sermons later, he could be right. I think he was also saying, how can you have the effrontery to stand up and tell people what to do? Because people sometimes wrongly think that is what talks and sermons and teaching is about. However, for my comfort, I take what David Watson said as encouraging. I don't need to find something new to say from the Bible. I simply need to pass on to you what I believe God has given me to say at this point and to you as a group of people. The rest, in a way, is up to you. I might add that it's not just what preachers say, but the attitude with which we share what we think God is saying that is all important. And with these thoughts, I share with you the final word before we leave, except what we will say in conversation or prayer. The first church that Paul established on European soil was at Philippi. He visited it, we know, in 49 CE. He went there because of a dream that a man from Macedonia was calling him to come over and help us. And he went there and he met a woman called Lydia, an influential and hospitable woman, as she was praying with a group of people by the river. And we read in Acts that the Spirit opened her mind to the word, to the message about Jesus, and she believed. And that's something really exciting, if people start to believe what God is saying and what God says in the Bible. As a result of that, and because of the contact she had and the friends she knew and the message that Paul had to share, her house became the center of a community of believers. And that is where the church thrived in the first 300 years of its life. Not in cathedrals or churches or even in synagogue and temple, because those who followed the way were pushed out, but really through the households and the homes and the communities of believers. Paul writes to them from prison, so he's not free at this time that he writes to them. And the first reason for writing is to thank them, for the gifts that they had sent to him. I have so many thank yous. Jeff has so many thank yous that we could give to you for the things that you have done that have encouraged us to stay true to what God has asked us to do. And Jeff began his ministry the year after me in East London, coming first to Ecom to work with Colin Marchant and others who introduced us, who married us, who's still our friend and still faithful to the Lord. It was only in 1992 that we got married, and 2 years later he actually came over to be here. Now, Paul, as he writes to them, says, this is the important thing, guys, you people that are meeting in Philippi. You need to copy Jesus. You need to have the same humility as Jesus did. And he had deep affection for this church, this community. They were his friends. They were his co-workers, the same as you guys are to Jeff and I. You are more than friends. You are brothers and sisters, but you are co-workers. We share together the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is a relationship that is very different from relationships in the world. It overlaps. The world knows about friendship, but we actually are co-workers in sharing the good news, in telling and being good news. Not just telling, but being good news. That's our mission statement. They were his friends. And he wants to do everything he can to encourage them to continue in their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. That would be my hope, and I'm sure Jeff's, just to encourage you at this time to continue in your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. I'm concerned to speak this message to everyone here, whatever church or country you come from, but I particularly want to speak to the church community here at Victoria Park Baptist Church. We need the friends, the rest of you, to pray for us, but I want to address this church. So Paul uses a picture in chapter 3. Can anybody tell me what the picture is? And he's using a picture to describe the way of faith. Okay, so if you listen to the reading, you will remember the picture he used. Here's the clue. Recording this, aren't you, man? This could be the definitive sermon. Come on out of your seats. Right, running a race, stretching out, going for the prize. That's the picture he uses to describe them. Running the race is like the way of faith. But I'm going to break with all of that tradition and use a different picture. I'm going to talk about the way of faith as actually like the experience of trapezing, because I want to talk to you not just about the facts that I can give you, about the experience of the way of faith, what it feels like. And often it feels not so much like running a race as actually trapezing, letting go of one thing, going through the air before you grab another thing. Often the way of faith is just like that. And actually we call it transitioning. Many of you will have done that when you left work or a job, a relationship, when someone died, all sorts of things. You are in transition, and it's a great opportunity transition for change. It might be scary, but you at Victoria Park, as well as Jeff and I, and probably most of you, because of the way the world is changing, are in transition. You understand that, don't you? The world is in transition. Save the world is a big slogan. There is no planet B, okay? We are in transition. And God help us, as the United Kingdom, we are in transition. We haven't mentioned the B word. I have to tell you, that even though Jeff and I are very sad at leaving the community here, we both know and agree that God is calling us out and leading us on, and Becky kindly shared that the church is coming to that understanding. You won't all have arrived at that point yet. How dare you, was the cry to me in the post office. Everybody looked round. I thought at least I'd committed something. But how dare you? I do dare, we do dare. Many of us know about transition. Becky's already mentioned those going to university. Is Emma in the way to Wales at the moment? Is she already there? She's in Wales. She's in Wales, that is a transition. Right, so people going to university, who's going to new schools? Okay, New teachers, new everything. You're in transition. Things are different. Some of you have faced redundancy repeatedly. You are in transition. You don't know what the next step of it is. Some of you are moving, maybe. You're in transition. Okay. I want to speak to those of you who are in transition, but also to those of you who want nothing to ever change. You'd like to keep things just as they are, just as they were. Many, many of us want that. We cling to the past. So trapezing is quite an amazing idea, to swing on a trapeze, to move from the fly bar, which is where you get the momentum, to the catch bar. The gap in the middle is the difficult point, isn't it? Perhaps you're going to another bar, or as in this case, you're actually going to the catcher. And there is a gap there. And that is where faith is needed. Keep on growing. If you're going to keep on growing, then change is necessary. God, I believe, will specifically lead you into situations where change can be brought about, situations of challenge and difference. Even if you're staying, and of course we hope you'll go out of the building every time at the end of a Sunday into the world, even if you're staying, remaining, which is crucial because God does call people to remain in places as well as calling people out, then change is possible. I chose some wonderful images from the internet, six of them, and I said to Jeff, I'm having trouble downloading these. He's my technical bod. So could you please download them and put them on a PowerPoint? Yes, he said. I hear a yell from upstairs. You've chosen Getty images. I said, yes. He said, and I said, don't tell me they're going to charge me. He said, £175 an image. So I didn't phone the treasurer, because six times 175 is a lot of taps and toilet rolls. Okay, so you've got a free one. The way of faith, how do we experience it? What are you going through? What are Jeff and I going through? What will the church go through in the next months before it calls a new minister? I'm very grateful for Dane and Parry for using this idea of trapeze. Life's journey often feels like we are trying to move in between. We need to let go, but we're hanging on. We've got to let go. We've got to go through that gap. We've got to grasp a new thing. And some of you have done that. And some of you will still be in that. I dare to think that the way of faith is always transitioning. It's always transitioning. Sometimes we're just swinging and hanging on. But occasionally there is a need to stretch out, to let go of something or someone as you seek to take hold of the catch bar or the catcher. You're moving between two points. You're holding nothing. And this letting go and reaching out for the next hold point is where faith has to be exercised. Faith, you see something in the distance and you're called to reach out for it. You have a hope, something that you're looking forward to. And to reach it, I must release my grip of what is well known and the familiar. How can I do that? How can I do that? Well, for us who say we're followers of the way, we need to listen to the voice of Jesus calling us. It's nothing new. It's not just a bright idea or something attractive that we see advertised that we think, oh, isn't that interesting? I'd love to own that car, that fantastic house. I'd love that academic qualification. I'd love to do that. But actually, faith is actually listening to the voice of Jesus calling me. It's not just a daring human challenge. Jeff and I aren't being terribly brave in doing what we're doing. The voice of Jesus is the voice of the lover in the Song of Solomon, calling out the beloved, come out and know me more deeply, know me better. And that's what the voice of Jesus is doing, come and know me better. For a brief moment in time, I must choose to leave behind certain things. I will be fearful. I don't like Christians that say simplistically, fear is lack of faith. Well, of course it is, but how do I move and stay in that walk of faith? If I'm fearful, I can confess that to God. I might be frightened to confess it to other Christians or people of faith. Find someone that you can, please. My confidence comes as I learn to walk in the way that God has never let me down before. That is faith. Faith is relying on the fact that God has not let me down before. Faith, not sight. We don't know what the future holds. You and I don't even know, do we? Beyond the next few moments in many ways. But we're called the walk of faith, to listen to the voice of God. Why am I fearful? Well, maybe I'm frightened I'll make a fool of myself. There's no safety net. I might splat on the rocks of humiliation. Maybe that's what I'm afraid, that I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to fail. And lots of kids are really scared about failing. Lots of adolescents are really scared about failing. Lots of adults are really scared about failing. The faith experience, I don't like the expression a leap in the dark, though I understand it. There's no guarantees. There's no safety net. There's no insurance policy. I've just been trying to work out my pension and what you get. I should have probably sorted it out before. It's quite interesting. But there's no guarantee. There's all these strange things if you die in service. So if I die before Wednesday, Jeff's going off for a long world cruise. There's no safety net. But there is the holding arms of God. That's what we believe. And we say from Deuteronomy, God is my home. My eternal dwelling place is God. And underneath are the everlasting arms. But what it actually says here in Philippians is, Jesus has taken hold of me. Jesus has taken hold of me, so I need to take hold of the purpose that he has for my life. Jesus has taken hold of me. Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. Jesus has taken hold of me, and I need to take hold of what he has for me. I need to reach out for that forward vision. There is life beyond. There is life beyond. Sometimes you have to go against what people advise you. I'm sorry, parents, but I'm going to tell your children something you may not like them hearing. Your parents, if you have good parents, will advise you and encourage you to work hard, to be happy, to go to bed early, and all these things. These are important things looking after you. They will tell you to do well at school. And it is true, unless you have a good education, it is very hard to actually go on in life and achieve very much at all. But more important, even as you grow older and get ready to leave your parents' homes, is to listen to the voice of Jesus and the call he has for your life. At 25, when I came out of teaching, it did not meet with my family's approval. And that was a decision I had to take in a family that was very, very close. Fortunately, they all became incredibly supportive of what happened and so on. But with your life, I really encourage anybody to really seek to follow what God has for them, what Jesus says to them. Whatever is in your heart to do, take hold of it and do it, even if it might not be your parents' first choice. You've only got till Wednesday to find me, Mum and Dad, okay? Sometimes you have to do what you believe God has called you to do. And it may not be to go for the biggest job, the biggest house, to marry a certain person, and so on. It's not just me telling you to do your own thing, but really work out with God what God has for you. This is the faith moment, the bit where we let go of something, we take something new. The past is gone, the future is not yet here. This is the transition. I want to say to you, church, do not waste time until a new minister is called. Do not see the transition you have to make is letting go of James Orrington Hassell and then taking hold of someone else. What you do now is so important as a community. God has blessed you with a good leadership, a happy church. God has blessed you with resources in your home and your families. That is not the next bar to reach. You need to be walking in faith now. And in this time of transition, it's great opportunities for growth in your own life, your own relationships. Do not just see that point. There's all the points in between. How awful if somebody said, you're going to Frinton. And you know what Frinton's called, don't you? Do you know what it's called? God's waiting room. I nearly hit somebody that said that on the train. Then I thought that wouldn't be very... God's waiting room. Waiting for Godot. And I'm telling you, it is a bit like that, but never mind. If you're called there, go there. They were called into Macedonia. We're going into the wilderness. It's beautiful wilderness, by the way. Fantastic, fabulous. Our flat awaits us, and it's wonderful. And Jeff will be coming back to London as often as he can. He's already booked the first train. Okay. This is a place of trusting God, of moving to new things. Why? We need to actually hear what God is saying. How will we hear it? Well, I have to tell you this, in the place of prayer. Lola, yes? Tokes, yes? Liz, yes? Guys, in the place of prayer, both individually and together as a church, we hear the voice of Jesus telling us what to do. Stopping long enough to listen. Some of us are far, far too busy, either burning the candle at both ends, as my mother would say, both working and socialising. We need to be hearing the voice of Jesus. Jesus has taken hold of me. I need to take hold of Jesus. That gives me security and it gives me purpose. Not just security, but purpose. So, church, do not waste this opportunity. Do not see the call of the new minister as the next bar in the life of the church. There are many, many things. What I want to say is this. This gives me a new perception as I read the Bible, different perception, and a new humility. Paul said, have I succeeded or have I failed? Well, God is the measure of all things. All I know, says Paul, is I want to get to know Jesus better. I want to press on. And that is the important thing. And God has a purpose for me, but also for this church, for Jeff, also this church. And it is all so that greater glory may go to God. Let's give it to the Ignatian Jesuits. All for the greater glory of God. All for the greater glory of God. And for this community and the communities where you live, the world needs rescuing. That is why Jesus came. That is why Jesus came. And the world is making choices which are to do with bodily desires, mental needs, emotional needs, and they are not good choices. They are often to do with greed. They are not good choices. So, since we want to love the world as God loves the world, then we must be of use to God and grasp that for which he has grasped hold of us. I finish with one verse. So then, my brothers and sisters, how dear you are to me and how I miss you. How happy you make me and how proud I am of you. This then, dear brothers and sisters, is how you should stand firm in your life in the Lord. Amen. Let's just be still for 30 seconds. And then before we do the next bit, we're going to have a stretch. So let's just be still under God's presence.